Thank you. I want to make a segue from my good friend Nicola's remarks by pointing out that she could have been a little more specific when she referred to her arrival here, because she is not only in the United States, understandably expressing a little ambivalence about arriving on this occasion or with respect to the subject, but she is in the golden state of dysfunctionality at the moment. Indeed, if the United States is the great international anomaly, I'm not sure how I'm going to get through this phrase, but I guess I feel like saying California is the United States of the United States. But I think a few words about what's going on in California might be helpful to make a somewhat larger point I want to make about how the mass incarceration phenomenon has had a kind of shaking up effect in a lot of political and social institutions, but it's also having a shaking up effect in a very interesting and ultimately, I think, helpful way within the academy with certain academic disciplines, and that the two shakings, if you will, I think are interestingly parallel and interactive. A word about the Golden State. We ourselves are exceptional within the United States, but in some complicated ways. California is not anomalous within the United States in terms of the prison population, you know, the ratio of prisoners to population. It's about average, which is nothing to be proud of, but it's not anomalous. In a way, that shouldn't be a surprise. Traditionally, forever, the states with the highest imprisonment rates have been in the Deep South, and they still, by and large, are. So in what sense is California exceptional? Well, in a few related senses. First of all, it has apparently the worst overcrowding problem. And what would cause an overcrowding problem is itself extremely interesting. It obviously has nothing to do with a lack of space or, in some broad sense, a lack of resources, but some kind of dysfunctionality in the political economy of the state, including at times when times were quite good economically, that produced this incredible mismatch of needs and resources. Second, and related, this is a very, very weird political system we have here. Comparativists interested in kind of, you know, political anthropology from alien cultures, you know, might well come to California, even if they're from just across the a state border. California is very weird, and obviously it's gotten a lot of attention because of the strange constitutional restrictions on the possibility of making sensible revenue discussions and so on. But I think that there's the bizarre nature of California is itself, in the context of the imprisonment problem, become an interesting academic subject in a way that also makes it a very, very important practical policy subject. And that is, we don't know what to do with political and economic accountability here very well. The main way I would illustrate this is a sort of sub-debate that's gone on recently, and it's part of the general California prison debate, about whether we should have a sentencing commission. Many states have sentencing commissions. Most of them are, at worst, uncontroversial, and at best, extremely successful public agencies. They are extremely heterogeneous, but here's a simple kind of common denominator. They help the real branches of government, the executive and the legislature and the judiciary to some extent, think in rational, cost-beneficial terms about criminal justice policy, as government is prone to do with other regulatory policies. Legislatures and other branches of government can choose to cede as much of their authority, to delegate as much of their authority to sentencing commissions as they wish, and to hold back and be able to reverse in any way they want. And these things work pretty well. Ironically, the most famous sentencing commission in the United States in modern history is a rather infamous one in some ways. That's the Federal Sentencing Commission, the United States Sentencing Commission, which certainly has had its problems, but interestingly, it's associated with a very harsh, rigid punishment and a humongous increase in the federal prison population. And yet here in California, you refer to sentencing commission, and you're told, oh, in other words, you want the legislature to basically hand the keys to the prisons over to, well, Okay, the object of the preposition to varies to some extent. Sometimes it's socialists. Sometimes it's sentimentalists. Sometimes it's lily-livered San Franciscans. But it also is sometimes, you know, those people who do numbers, and you know what they always are going to tell you, release people. Now, that has simply not been the experience in other sentencing commissions. They've been very successful, very moderate, very rational. But there's something about the political dysfunctionality of California whereby the legislature, which has proved unbelievably unaccountable in every relevant way, says we won't give up our accountability to this unaccountable body, which could, frankly, be created by us in any way we want, but we wouldn't risk doing that. Okay. The irony, and this is the last point I'll make just on this small point, is that because of its dysfunctionality, California's regular branches of government have ceded authority over the prison system. It's just not been to a sentencing commission. It's been to this other body called the United States District Court for the Northern District of California. So what we have is a war, a ballet, an unhappy, neurotic marriage. Choose your metaphor. What has been going on and will go on for the next few months is a fascinating political science and legal problem about how we deflect and need to rearrange accountability in our system. Okay. Other point I want to make has to do with sort of more of an inside academia point, and that is that there's this really interesting shock effect. It's sort of like putting two chemicals into a test tube together when they're very different and see how they interact. And that is what happens with fairly abstract academic ideas when they have to interact, not just with the world of social fact generally, but with shock effect, dramatic, anomalous social facts, paradigm change social facts, if you will. And the conventional discussions within the world of criminal law and criminal jurisprudence often turn to what is the real purpose of punishment question? Is it incapacitation? Is it retribution? Is it deterrence and so on? These debates continue all the time in academia, but even when we, for example, criticize retributivism because it doesn't take enough account of the real world, the debate, the critique, tends to remain at a pretty abstract level. It's interesting to see what happens when the shock effect fact is brought into this discussion, and let me just give a few examples. There's a really interesting book by a Princeton sociologist, Deva Pager, called Marked. It's basically based on a very interesting sociological experiment, a simulation experiment where people were sent out to get job interviews and try to get jobs, and all sorts of things were controlled for. But, of course, the key variable we were interested in is the fact that the person had a record, a criminal record. To make a very complicated story very short, very sophisticated analysis of the outcomes leads to the conclusion that criminal record is an unbelievable obstacle to gaining or regaining employment. And here's the important point. Believe me, they accounted for all the possible endogenous factors. That is to say, obviously, the people who were in prison already had career and educational and personal deficits, which would make it hard for them to win employment. Yes, we've controlled for all those things, and then yet. Now, connect that to the work of our colleague Bruce Western and the term which I think he and Catherine Beckett invented, if I'm wrong, I'll be corrected, the AEP, the aggregate earnings penalty. And it's related in the sense that we know that the effect of imprisonment has a kind of metastatic effect on the life course and the economic life and the social and personal life of prisoners. Now, connect that to two final points then. First of all, we have to redefine certain terms. We often talk about stigma. That's a term that, in the abstract, we like to use when we talk about the deterrent effect of criminal law. Well, Deva Page's work says, boy, there's a stigma. And it goes beyond any simple philosophical notion. Incapacitation, deterrence, the appropriate penalty. We can't control, even though our abstractions say we should, the penalties we inflict on people if they have these widening, self-generating, self-reinforcing effects. Last point, and here I'll virtually quote a line from Bruce's book. What has happened to rehabilitation? Now, as my colleague Joan can speak with great expertise, a great deal is known about very, very salutary programs that can really help prisoners do better than they otherwise would. We all know certain things do work if they're tried, drug rehab programs, employment counseling, and so on. But that's not to say that prison can be rehabilitative in the following sense, that you will be a more moral and less crime-prone human being when you get out of prison than if you had never been in prison. That's probably improbable. The line I'm referring to in Bruce's book is a brief mention towards the end where he talks about reentry programs, which he, you know, lauds and encourages the development of. But he points out that's not exactly rehabilitation. And the phrase, if I have it right, is it's rehabilitation for the era of mass incarceration. We've sort of redefined rehabilitation. Rehabilitation doesn't make you a better person than you would have been had you not gone to prison. Rehabilitation is an important thing we do to mitigate the bad effects that prison has on you. So those are some things that happen in the more kind of academic-y world of abstract thought that are affected by this crisis, but obviously there's not going to be any neat divide, nor should there be, between the academic discussions and the more practical ones. Thank you.